Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know, I read today about a king who refused to heed the warning of God's prophet, but instead dismissed him scornfully, saying, you know, something like, "Are you among the king's counselors?" Well, the prophet discerned the king's stubbornness and revealed God had rejected the king and was determined to destroy him. This wicked king was assassinated a few verses later. You know, things move pretty fast in the Bible. But if you read the passage in 2 Chronicles 25 carefully, you'll notice that at the time this king turned from following the Lord and the prophet delivered his message from God, a conspiracy was set in motion to assassinate him because of his crimes. Well, God would have helped the king if he had listened to the prophet. Alas, the judgment was set in motion, but it was 15 years later before the prophet's curse was executed. Now, I don't know when God will require justice upon these evil people. I only know that he will. The prophet had no part in the conspiracy against the king in this story. He only delivered the message that God had determined to destroy this wicked ruler. When and how was not revealed. Judgment began upon this king and his kingdom very soon after the prophet declared God's curse upon him. But the final execution of justice against this wicked man tarried for an additional 15 years. It's easy to become impatient waiting for the slowly turning wheels of justice to finally bring the judgment they carry and deliver it. But for judgment to satisfy justice, it must, first and foremost, be itself just. Now, wrath is set against the Obamas, the Bidens, the Clintons, and all those who corrupted themselves with Epstein. Divine judgment cannot be bribed away or corrupted. To have a doddering clown in the White House and Willie Brown's call girl for vice president, well, it's certainly the devil's mockery of this one nation under God, a blasphemy against our constitutional republic, and a reproach upon the principles of liberty and justice for all. But it is also a well-deserved reproof against our Laodicean churches, our bastardization of the gospel, our new cart churches and their belly-serving pastors. Indeed, when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. If God has for the moment put us into the power of the wicked, well, it's a call to let our laughter be turned to mourning and our joy to heaviness. Only, my friend, when we have fully submitted ourselves to God, can we then turn and resist the devil with any kind of confidence that he will be compelled to flee? Those who serve God with imperfect hearts, however, resist God and submit to the devil. Well, they're backwards. Turn it around. Repent. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Don't assist him. Resist him. We don't humble ourselves to evildoers. We don't surrender ourselves to the wicked. We don't yield to the workers of evil. We resist. But to have the divine assist when we resist, we must first submit to God. Then, when we resist the devil, he will flee. I declare wrath upon every man that doeth evil. If they heed and repent, well. If they mock and scoff and dismiss the divine reproof, well, I call upon them tribulation and anguish, as did the Apostle Paul. The curse of God upon all oppressors in this earth, upon all corrupted politicians, upon all who love iniquity, who bow the knee to Satan, who drink the blood, who molest the children, who devour the virgins, and feed the great dragon of China, the CCP. All who frame mischief by a law, all who persecute the righteous and protect the wicked, all whose hands are covered in the blood of infants, whose feet are wrapped in the skin of babies and stained with their blood, who defile and abuse themselves with mankind, whose witchcraft perverts their soul to work all manner of unnatural things. Men with men, with boys, with babies, working their abominable practices, reveling in the strength of devils and the cunning craftiness whereby they are deceived and by which they deceive, whose hearts are lifted up in pride, who arrogantly blaspheme the Bible and defy the throne of God, who employ the violent to steal and liars to cheat. I declare God's curse upon all such who take the power from the people and give it to Satan. I declare God's curse upon all representatives in this country, senators, judges, presidents, and vice presidents, governors, mayors, and anyone holding office who defies the ordaining authority over their power and turns it against God, unfaithful ministers, unruly, ungodly. God's curse is upon you. All right, my friends, hold on. I'll be right back.
The Brain Massage Show releases truth antibodies in the brain that attack and destroy liberal lies.
Disney fires Gina Carano because she tweeted the truth about the left today, while Jack Morrissey, a Disney producer, is still drawing a paycheck after he tweeted, quote, MAGA kids go screaming, hats first, into the wood chipper, end quote. Yes, accompanied with a picture of a wood chipper dripping blood. Disney. The latest from Lynn Wood, from Tampa, Florida's mayor, from The Who, a World Health Organization, and the impeachment of the Senate, and yes, you heard me correctly, a look at the confession from Molly Ball, journalist for The Times, the importance of one vote, the Myanmar solution, and why the guard remains in D.C. Folks, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Liberalism, so-called progressivism, corrupts everything it touches. Disney has been exploiting children for decades. It's all going to come out and into the open. But what hypocrisy, really? Someone offers a perfectly legitimate observation, noticing that the MSMSM, that's social media, DNC, you know who that is, GOP establishment, you know who they are, all together talking about reprogramming conservatives, re-educating them, and are rounding them up and disappearing them from their neighborhoods and force-feeding them political correctness until they yield up their independence and cower to their mind control. So she says, hey, that's like what the Nazis did in Germany against the Jews when Hitler rose to power. And then Disney freaks out. You know, I need to invent some kind of jargon here because it's getting cumbersome to have to say, you know, MSMSM, DNC, GOP establishment. So what would be a good word to label this group as a whole, this group of God-hating, America-despising, anti-Americans who are working to undermine our Constitution, to destroy it, and to steal from us our liberties? You know, it is true. One thing they all have in common is that they defy the God of the Bible, and they want a one-world government-controlled system controlled by them and the so-called elite. And that, you know, a fitting name for that would be Nimrodism. It's Nimrod all over again. So maybe we can call them the Nimrods. Or maybe a better differentiation is the one Jesus himself used in his message on the great separation of the goats and the sheep. He set the goats on his left and the sheep on his right. Yeah, this actually works pretty well. Let's look at it. The goats, well, they are worshippers of the gender-blended goat-headed cherub-wing symbol used for Satan in homage to his favorite Satan-worshipping, Satan-possessed king named Alexander, interestingly represented in prophecy by a goat and worshipped today by that symbolic representation. And Jesus uses the goat to represent those who follow his God-defying example. Yeah, so that kind of includes the Nimrod idea and the goat thing. It's okay, we're going to call them goats. And as for sheep, well, you can see how the world, with the help of foolish Christians, belittle the imagery. Jesus is God's lamb given as a sacrifice for our sins. And the goats despise the lamb and the sheep. They try to make it out that the reason God calls his followers sheep is because they are stupid or dumb. Nowhere in Scripture does God call on his people to be stupid or dumb. It's the reverse. He calls on them to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. He calls on them to grow to maturity and not be like a child in their understanding. He calls on them to study to show themselves approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. He invites them to call on him for wisdom with a promise to give it to all who do so with faith unwavering. The analogy of Jesus' disciples being called his sheep has nothing at all to do with the idea that sheep are mindless and can be easily led. It's all about the relationship of his people to him as the chief shepherd. The quality of sheep that Jesus has in view when he refers to them as his sheep is this: they hear his voice and only his voice, and they follow him. That's the quality he sees in his people that reminds him of sheep. They know the voice of their shepherd, and they acknowledge only that voice. The fact is, Christ's sheep are not easily led by fakes. They hear only one voice, and that is Christ's voice, and they follow him. It's certainly true that because of weak gospel preaching, our churches are filled with a bunch of goats who are only interested in eating whatever's in front of them. You know, goats will eat anything and everything. And that's all they're ever busy with. And something else about Christ's sheep: they are born of God. They are lambs of his pasture, that is, of his kind. In Revelation 4 and 5, you meet the Lamb of God, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Whoa! That's right, John heard the voice of the elder comforting him that he need not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seven seals, to bring God's judgment upon this world, this old world. And when John turned to see the voice that spake with him, guess what he saw? He didn't see a lion. He saw the Lamb of God, the Lamb that roars. We are Christ's sheep, and we are of that kind, a Lamb of God, but a Lion to this world, lambs that roar. Okay, goats it is. They are the children of disobedience who reject Christ Jesus as Lord of heaven and earth, Satan's brood, children of darkness. The sheep, Christ's disciples, Jesus' fold, children of light, children of obedience. So, the devil always protects his goats, you know, and attempts to butt away the sheep. The goats at Disney fired Gina Carano because she tweeted the truth about the left today. She compared their cancel culture operation to Nazis. But goat Jack Morrissey, a Disney producer, is still drawing a paycheck, even after he tweeted, quote, "MAGA kids go screaming hats first into the wood chipper," end quote. Yeah, with a picture of a wood chipper dripping blood. Everything the goats touch is corrupted. Disney has become a goat farm. The latest from Lin Wood. Well, that brother swears under oath that he has proof positive Pence is a traitor. I wonder what he has. I know some email correspondence between Pence and Paul Ryan surfaced a little while back, implicating them, along with Rosenstein at the time, in a scheme to get rid of Trump. You know, to make Pence president, with Ryan and Rod vying for the VP spot. I don't think he's talking about that, is he? And then there's the James Clapper interrogation audio that claims Pence is controlled by the deep state, saying that they have some leverage on Pence. I still am not prepared to say what it is because, well, first, I can't authenticate the audio. And second, I can't trust Clapper. He is controlled by the other side. So be patient. It all will come out. Anyway, that sets us up. When I get back from the break, I'm going to expose the confessions of a goat on the activities of the goats and the ongoing impeachment of the Senate. And yes, you did hear me correctly. Hold on, I'll be right back.
Go to GodsWar2020.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing "The Enemy's on the March," an enemy that will steal from us our liberties. A goat's confession. You have probably noticed how effectively the goats use spin to control public perception of the news. You have probably also noticed that when the goats know that damaging news is about to break, well, they will try to get ahead of it by creating a false narrative that will help them explain it away. For example, the truth about election fraud is building and increasing pressure against the wall of censorship that the left has put in place to keep it from the public. Well, it's about to break. So when the goats can no longer keep the truth from getting to the people, they try to get out ahead of it. When they see the cracks in their dam widening, they rush out with a story to control the narrative, to control the spin. They admit the whole thing, only they will spin it in a way that they hope will cause the people to, well, accept it, you know, yawn and pass on it. They try to diffuse the impact of the truth by hiding it within a false story. Here's a perfect example of this. Molly Ball writes for the Times. Times published her article under the title, "The Secret Bipartisan Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election." When you read the article, it is clear by saved, what they mean is, they stopped Trump from winning. Now, Molly identifies the architect of this secret bipartisan campaign, a conspiracy. And it's the 25-year AFL-CIO senior election advisor, Podhorzer. He thought he had it all worked out for Hillary to win in 2016. And when they lost, he admitted he had underestimated Trump's appeal to blue-collar union voters, a class of voter he assumed that he had sewed up for Hillary. So he set to work to put together a surefire plan to stop Trump from being ever reelected. He hatched the conspiracy to derail the Trump train. Now, I'm not saying this. I'm telling you what Molly told us in her article. Podhorzer, Molly tells us, explained that he was concerned Trump would, quote, corrupt the voting process in the key states, end quote. Isn't that interesting? I have always been impressed by Jesus. all the way around. But his revelation that out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh has always struck me as interesting to listen to what people say and trace it back to the status of their heart and how often liars will, in fact, betray themselves by their own words. Notice that, according to Molly, Podhorzer was not concerned that Trump would corrupt the election. Like, you know, for example, by saying the results are wrong or they're fake or throwing out quote-unquote false accusations of voter fraud. He wasn't focused on that. He said he was concerned Trump would corrupt the voting process specifically. What? How could Trump corrupt the process by which voters voted? And notice that Podhorzer specified his concern was with what he considered to be key states that would give Trump the electoral votes he needed to win. Now, he figured he could work it out to give Biden the popular vote, but he was concerned that he might not be able to work it out to get the electoral vote to him. So you have Molly revealing that Podhorzer was focused on key states and on the corruption of the voting process. Interestingly, the voting process was indeed corrupted, and it was specifically corrupted in the key states that cost Trump the election. And corrupted is the key word here. But Trump did not corrupt the process. The goats did. The conspiracy targeted seven key states where they worked to corrupt the voting process by their own admission. Molly later describes how the conspiracy worked. They pooled their resources to influence election officials with the help of, you know, bribe Secretary of State governors and judges to actually corrupt the election laws of the states. By corrupt the election laws, what I mean is that rather than change the laws legally through the legislature of these states, they manipulated through bribes and blackmail election officials and secretaries of state and governors of Republican-controlled states to simply change the laws, to put in place voting procedures that were contrary to state law. Friend, that is corrupting the process. Trump alerted them to this, but no one listened. Trump was not responsible for corrupting the voting process. They were. Second, by using mail-in ballots. No matter how many times Trump warned against this, no matter how many times we said, hey, foul, the Democrats themselves said many times that the mail-in ballot was a dangerous scheme that facilitated voter fraud. But the left went all out. I mean, to force mail-in balloting, especially in the key states, and even when it was in direct violation of state law. This is corruption of the voter process. Third, by employing the use of voting machines that were known to be vulnerable to voter fraud abuse. The problems with these Dominion machines was well known. That they can be connected to the internet is established. Even though they denied it, they're just liars. And it was already well known. In fact, instructions for doing this are clearly laid out in their own manual. That they could be programmed to weight votes is a feature that's actually, again, explained in their manuals. That the sensitivity of these machines could be adjusted to increase the number of ballots rejected by the machine. This was important because every rejected ballot gets sent for adjudication, where someone independently makes a judgment about the intent of the voter and then literally votes on their behalf. Unsupervised, unobserved, untraceable, unconscionable. The machines in some districts were rejecting 68% of the ballots, requiring all of these to be sent for adjudication. Did you know that the federal law, the federal standard for voting machines to be used in our elections is 0.002%? These machines were used contrary to the law. Using them was a corruption of the voting process. I realize Dominion will say, well, it's illegal to use or to abuse these features. You know, my car can drive 140 miles an hour, but the law says I can't drive that fast. So if I drive that fast, that's not the car's fault. That's not the machine's fault. Wait a minute here. And I know Apple and the rest involved in this conspiracy are going to say, well, there are laws in place to protect the integrity of the vote. And we say, excuse me, when did a law ever stop a determined thief from stealing? Look, no one with sense believes that anybody would design a voting machine capable of being connected to the internet, capable of being programmed to weight votes. And if you don't know what that means, I'll explain it in a moment. And capable of being abused in a myriad of other ways, no one would design a voting machine to be used for elections with these features unless the intention was to facilitate election fraud. Texas refused to use these machines because of these known features. And Georgia laid out $100 million to use these machines for the same reason. That's right, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, these others, they all chose to use these machines because they knew full well about these features. And we have not even got started on the evidence piling up showing the machines were connected to the internet during the election and that communication was going both ways between these machines in Beijing and other countries, by the way, and that this has been traced. We have hard proof of this. And now consider the importance of one vote. Matt Morgrave brought this to my attention. When I looked at it, I remembered the first time I saw a tabulation sheet of votes produced by one of these voting machines, and I noticed it immediately and with surprise and suspicion. That the totals were all rendered in whole numbers with a decimal followed by three numbers. What? Or in other words, these were totals of fractional amounts or included fractional amounts. Whole numbers cannot add up to a fractional amount. Any computer program that is designed to add whole numbers never renders a fractional value. Now, if a computer is set up to add fractional amounts, it can be tricky sometimes setting the computer calculator to show only two places and round up or down, that kind of thing. But that's just because I'm not all that skilled. A skilled programmer has no problem with that sort of thing. But no computer program designed to add whole numbers, or whole numbers only, will ever render a result that has anything but zeros following any decimal. They wouldn't bother putting a decimal there. So when I saw the decimal and the fractional amount indicated by the numbers following it, I knew right then and there that something was very wrong with what I was looking at. Matt sent a screenshot of an update log generated by the data sent out from the Dominion machines here in California. Now, these logs are sent out periodically in time intervals to update everybody on how the election's going. And I was looking at one of these updates from the California election. This particular line stood out because it showed only one vote. So this particular update just happened to have only one vote cast in the district represented here, or the machine represented here. But what was weird is that the one vote was actually divided up between Biden, Trump, and a category called other. Now, one vote, my friend, would go either to Biden or to Trump or to other. It wouldn't be divided up between all three. But here, right in front of my eyeballs, I see Biden got 0.659 of that one vote. Trump got 0.322 of that one vote. And other got 0.019 of that one vote. Now, if you total these, they equal one vote. Obviously, the machine was programmed to weight each vote and distribute the value across the three categories. Biden got some, Trump got some, the other got some. Nothing is more obvious than that these machines are designed to cheat. And of course, the machine does not do the cheating, like my car doesn't do the driving. But they're designed to allow cheaters to cheat. The reason Texas rejected using these machines is because they did their due diligence and knew they were flawed. and susceptible to fraud. By the way, that's also the reason these key states identified by the conspiracy were put under so much pressure to place the Dominion machines into service. The arm twisting of governors, secretaries of state, the judges to go along with this, it's unreal, but my friend, they've been caught. That's what Trump kept telling us. They've been caught. Isn't it interesting? Podhorzer was concerned about corruption of the voting process in certain key states. And then that is exactly what happened in these key states. And the only reason he's getting away with it is because the goats have gathered together. They have banded together against the sheep. That's who they don't want running the country. They don't want Christians having any part of any of this. That's, by the way, what Jesus does. You see, he separates the sheep from the goats and he judges them based entirely on how they treated him by how they treated his people. So that takes me to the Myanmar solution. As you know by now, the government of Myanmar, and that was Burma, has been taken over by the military. The general leading the military has declared the reason they moved in and put the government officials under house arrest and took over. And it's because the election was fraudulent. You see, they used the Smartmatic software and the machines that we used here. And we believe the connection they made to procure those machines was facilitated by Obama and Hillary. You see, Myanmar government officials are corrupted by their involvement in international drug trafficking interests, specifically something called fentanyl. And that's something used to jazz up heroin and cocaine. There's a huge amount of money moving around and laundered through Myanmar. The money interests could not afford their operation to be in the hands of, well, and under the control of something so prosaic as the people's vote. They're too sophisticated to allow that to get in their way. They needed assurance that their key people that they put in place there in Myanmar would be able to maintain control of the government in order to, you know, protect and facilitate their drug trafficking operation. Well, the military got wind of this and waited until the miscreants did the deed. Then they stepped in and took over. Since then, major drug busts have been going on, exposing the whole thing. So, who knows? All I can tell you is that if the Senate does not come clean on all the corruption in their ranks and in America, and by the way, the corruption here makes Myanmar look like a kindergarten playground by comparison, where the kid is trading a cigarette they stole from home. And if our courts refuse to step up and exercise their duty under the Constitution to stop this egregious theft of our country and our liberties, by the way, and the betrayal of our so-called leaders into the hands of the dragon of China, the CCP, well, then the next institution in America with official capacity to act in defense of our Constitution is the military. So why are the National Guard still in D.C.? Why are Democrats treating them with such disrespect and dishonor? When the leadership of the National Guard was asked, why are you guys still here? The answer was effectively, we can't say. Well, why? I don't mean to imply more than would be appropriate here on the basis of what information and evidence I have, but it's a legitimate question. But ultimately, the only institution that can stop the devil and make him flee is the Lord's churches, my friends, not the corrupted establishment churches that have sold out to Satan and are owned by the goats. I mean the true churches where the sheep feed and are trained to be lions that roar in the earth. We're here to roar with the roar of the Lamb. Kiss the Son, ye kings of the earth, and fear lest he be angry and you are destroyed. You perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. You better repent. I have lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. You let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114 or go to godswar2020.com. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to godswar2020.com.